needles, all kind of stuff, and it stays like that for months at a time.
Yeah.
And then they do this cleanup, and it's a joke. It's a joke, because all they do is what they really do is they come over here and they harass the homeless.
One time, she said, she stood out on the street waiting for a garbage truck to come by so she could flag it down and ask them to pick up the trash.
So I stood out there. I had stood out there for a whole week and asked the man for a whole week, hey, nicely, can you guys please pick this trash? No. It's like, why can't they pick the trash up?
Mm-hmm.
No, really, why can't they? Mm-hmm. Are they not allowed to because it's not a scheduled stop?
Mm-hmm.
Or do they not give a
For Making Contact,
it gotta be.
I'm Carla Green in Los Angeles.
And that wraps up this edition of Making Contact. Thanks to this week's contributor, Carla Green. The Making Contact team is Executive Director Lisa Redman, Audience Engagement Director Sabine Blazin, Staff Producers Anita Johnson, Monica Lopez, and Salima Hamarani. Development Coordinator is Vera Teichholzker, and I'm this week's host and producer, Monica Lopez. Thanks for listening to Making Contact.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor the 31st Annual Waterfront Blues Festival, taking place from July 4th through July 7th at Waterfront Park in Portland. Performing artists this year include Beth Hart, Robert Randolph and the Family Band, Ruthie Foster, and the Mavericks, as well as annual traditions like the Bill Rhodes Harmonica Blow-Off, Zydeco Dance Lessons, Blue Cruises, After Parties, and much more. Again, that's the 31st Annual Waterfront Blues Festival, taking place from July 4th through July 7th at Waterfront Park in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
The more compassion we have towards animals,
you can value them all. You really value yourself as well.
So even if you don't care about animals, the things we do that hurt animals end up hurting ourselves.
It's almost kind of a dominion type issue where we feel we need to control everything.
Dominion means stewardship, to take care of.
What would a cow think about satisfying our habit? The challenge lies with looking at suffering from the perspective of the person or individual suffering.
Welcome to Voices for the Animals on KBOO Portland with your host, Courtney Scott. Today we are talking to Jody Whitaker, Campaign Director of the Chicago Alliance for Animals and founder of the Partnership to Ban Horse Carriages Worldwide. Jody has been working for animal causes since 1997, and among her other achievements was the campaign director on the successful ballot initiative to end greyhound racing in Massachusetts. Jody has been monitoring the horse-drawn carriage trade in Chicago to see if the companies and drivers are following the laws set by the City of Chicago. The city's horse carriage companies have racked up a large number of infractions, due in large part to her efforts. Her ultimate goal is to ban horse carriages in Chicago. Welcome, Jody.
Thank you very much.
So glad you could be with us here in KBO land today. So, Jody, tell us to start off, what drew you to the cause of carriage horses?
Well, it's an issue that's always been incredibly important to me. I think I first noticed them when I would visit New York City, and I remember just seeing them on the street with their heads hanging low, and they seemed completely defeated. And I've just never thought that these horses belong on very busy city streets, chaotic, in this chaotic environment, and that they belong in a, you know, in a pasture and in nature with grass. And so it's been something that's kind of haunted me since I was young.
I see. So, you know, I'm sure you're aware horse carriages are portrayed in many films as a romantic adventure. You know, it's a great way to see a city. So tell us a little bit more about what's wrong with that picture.
It's something that I think the average person is not aware of, that these horses are not treated well. The laws that are on the books to protect these horses and the public are rarely enforced by almost any city. And the accidents are so rampant that there's just so many reasons why it's not a romantic scene. In Chicago, for example, the Chicago Alliance for Animals has been monitoring the horse carriage trade for the last year and a half because neither the city of Chicago, the city agency that's supposed to enforce, monitor and enforce the laws regarding the horse carriages, nor the police, nor Animal Care and Control do anything regarding the laws. So it's up to concerned citizens to make sure the horses are not being overworked and to be sure that they have water to drink and to be sure that they're not working when it's 95 degrees out. And we have documented hundreds and hundreds of violations of the law and have sent that information to the city and, along with our video documentation. And now those companies are facing hundreds of violations, or hundreds, they have been cited hundreds of times and are facing up to $200,000 in accompanying fines.
Wow, that's really great. So what is Chicago Alliance witness regarding animal welfare issues?
Well, we almost every time we've gone out, we have witnessed the horses being overworked, sometimes more than 12 hours in a day. And Chicago's law states they can only work 6 hours in a 24-hour period. But again, many times we have witnessed them getting down to the horse carriage stand, and from the stable, it takes them approximately a half hour from the stable to get to the horse carriage stand. And then they're typically, you know, we have documented them being out for 12 plus hours and then going back to the stable on a Saturday and then coming back on Sunday around 11 or 12 and working another 10, 11, 12 hours. So that 6 hour rule in a 24-hour period was never enforced. And these companies have been around since the 80s. So these laws have been probably being broken for decades. Other things we have witnessed and documented include horses being worked when it's been 90 degrees or higher. Chicago's law states they cannot work if it's 90 degrees or higher at Northerly Island. Northerly Island is on the lake, so it's always likely a few degrees cooler than where the carriage horses work. Also, that temperature does not take into account humidity or asphalt temperature. And we know the asphalt temperature can be probably 40 to 50 degrees higher than the air temperature.
Wow, that's an enormous jump. I didn't know that. Huh.
Yeah, and that's, you know, that's where they're working and plodding along for 10, 11, 12 hours a day in the summer. We've also witnessed many times the horses not having drinking water. In the winter months, the carriage drivers are supposed to provide a bucket of water for the horses because the fountains that they use in the summer are not on. We have been down there. We go down for our monthly educational outreach events, and numerous times we've had to call the police to alert them that these horses have no drinking water. We believe that the companies and drivers do not want the horses drinking water because should a horse urinate on the street, by law, they are supposed to pour down a soapy solution to clean up the urine. Again, we've witnessed them not doing that. So they don't want the horses drinking or eating.
That's and we've just also witnessed such cruelty.
Exactly. We've witnessed numerous other violations that are regarding the law that are there to protect the public, such as they're supposed to be with the reins are supposed to be in their hands or within arm's length. We've noticed numerous times where the drivers are nowhere near the horse, and that's an accident waiting to happen. Horses are naturally prey; they're prey animals, and they spook incredibly easily. So when we were down there on May 20th, there was a horse just standing in the rain, and the handler or driver, we believe, was sitting in the carriage. If that horse had gotten spooked, he could have taken off and hit a pedestrian, hit a car, who knows?
Yeah, and in fact, that does happen, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes. So, in New York City, the most recent accident I know about in New York City that we know of, that the media reported on, a horse got spooked because somebody opened an umbrella, and that sent numerous people to the emergency room.
Wow.
So it's a very, these are animals that can weigh up to 1,000 plus pounds, and they spook easily, and that, you know, these animals, you can't control them when they are frantic.
Exactly. And, you know, you mentioned not giving them water and food. I wonder if that contributes to some of the accidents. You know, if they're dehydrated or just hungry, they might not be in the same state of mind that they would be if they were well fed and taken care of.
Of course, they're not in optimal health. And, you know, a lot of the accidents that happen in the warm climates, or, you know, in summers, in Chicago, summers, any city, it gets very hot and humid. You know, there are a lot of horses that have collapsed and are dehydrated. And that's a lot of times why cities will enact a ban. It's because of a horrible horse collapsing on the street, a horrible accident.
Yeah. So you'd think they'd want to prevent that. It seems counterintuitive not to protect the horse because it's protecting their own business. But I guess they're short-term thinking, perhaps.
Well, if their goal is romance, horse stopping and urinating in the street for 2 to 3 minutes is not romantic. And so they try to prevent a horse's natural nature. So it's rather sad.
Yeah, you know, that kind of reminds me of the elephants in the circus. They also don't water them in case they pee inside the tent during their performance. Mm-hmm. So
right.
It's kind of a similar situation. So, you know, I probably mentioned this to you. I saw this film, Blinders. I'm sure you've seen it.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things they pointed out, which I hadn't thought about, was how they're housed at night. What kind of housing do they have? Is it sufficient to give them some comfort, at least, after their day of work?
As far as we can tell, the situation is not good. The two stables we know of in the city of Chicago are in very industrial areas of the city. There are no requirements in Chicago and many other cities for turnout, which means to allow the horses to go out into a pasture and basically be free from the harness and the carriage and get some exercise and socialization with the other horses. There is no requirement for that. Again, these two stables are in very industrial areas of the city where there are not any sort of pastures or green spaces for them to be turned out anyway, should the stable or should the carriage companies wish to do it at all. We have looked at the stable with the one company, and it's on kind of a busy street in Chicago. It's a decrepit-looking building with that just looks very run down and very dark, hardly any windows. And you look in, I mean, you try to look in, and it looks like very small stalls where you can't even tell if the horses are able to turn around or lie down comfortably. So after working a 12 plus hour day, they go back to a stable, a very small, decrepit city building. I don't think that's humane at all. And the other stable, we don't know anything about it. It looks like a big warehouse. You can't see in it. You can't see, you know, it looks like the horses have to go up a ramp in order to get into the building. So, I mean, this is not nature. This is not a farm. And the one carriage company states that their horses live on a farm. Well, they might at times, but we know that after working a very long day, they go back to the stable in the city. So we don't believe it's humane, and we don't believe it has anything to do with being natural.
Yeah. And the horse, you know, they need to also forage, don't they? Don't they like to eat grass and walk around on a pasture? I mean, that's part of their habitat in the wild, or
and get some exercise without the being attached to a harness and
a
carriage and you know, 6 to 7 people in the carriage where every move is unnatural. So once that carriage comes off their back, they're stuck in a small stable. And in my opinion, you know, I don't like cages. I think that, you know, no animal, no human wants to be in a cage. Well, a stable where a horse can barely turn around, or even if they can turn around or lie down, is, in a sense, a cage for a horse because
exactly.
they're a 1,000, 2,000-pound animal.
Right.
So it's not, you know, they don't have any freedom. They're stuck in this contraption for, you know, again, up to 12 or more hours at times, and then they are stuck in a stable that they really can't move in.
Exactly. And so a horse is, like you say, a prey animal. They run. That's part of their nature, is running. They like to run. And a horse whisperer told me that's a horse's nature, and that is really being stifled completely.
Every aspect of their life is stifled. That's a great word. I mean, they don't have any natural life at all.
Yeah. So it's really very inhumane, and that picture is not portrayed right now in the film. So hopefully this will help change that. You know, I know that, for instance, when I was in New York, I saw horses lined up along Central Park wearing blinders and right next, inches from very heavy Manhattan traffic. So what is that? I mean, you mentioned this briefly. How stressful can that be, especially if they're wearing blinders because they can't even see what's coming up alongside them?
Well, again, it's, you know, when I'm in the city and I'm down near the area where the horse carriages work, it's a constant barrage of taxis honking their horns, ambulance sirens, fire engine sirens, motorcycles rearing their, blaring through town. So to me, I mean, I don't like it, and I can get away from that. And these are horses that have to stand there and like be standing in traffic when an ambulance is coming right up behind them.
Mm-hmm.
They can't do anything. They can't see because they're wearing the blinders. They, and the horse carriage proponents will tell you, well, they're trained to deal with this. They know how to handle it. They're used to it. Well, again, no, they are prey animals and they get spooked. Just because they can't take off doesn't mean they're not frightened as hell. And, you get these motorcycles, you know what I mean, that are just rearing and going by. And I don't think it's, you know, and they have to deal with that hours and hours.
I know,
every
it's
single
terrible.
Day.
Well,
so
thanks for pointing that out to us. We're going to take a short break right now, Jody. So everybody stay tuned to KBOO Portland, and we'll be right back. Welcome back to Voices for the Animals on KBOO Portland with our special guest, Jody Whitaker, Campaign Director of Chicago Alliance for Animals. So, Jody, by exposing the countless violations of the law to the city, is anything being done to address this? And how are you reaching out to the public to alert them to the cruelty and dangers of horse carriage rides?
Well, actually, because of our documentation and what we've witnessed, the horse carriage companies and drivers routinely breaking the law, we have sent that to the city, and the aldermen are finally taking notice. The actual the alderman who is in the ward where the horses work has introduced an ordinance to ban horse carriages. That the language basically states that their horse carriage licenses will not be renewed at the end of November when they're up for renewal. We, at this point, have at least 18 aldermen that we know of who have told us they support the ordinance, and we are reaching out every single day to aldermen around the city to ask them to get on board, and we are, you know, sending them the information on the numerous accidents, the violations, and so forth. In fact, we were just down there on Memorial Day, on May 20th, and then again on Memorial Day to observe. And on Memorial Day, they were working the horses when it was between 90 and 92 degrees at Northerly Island, which is not only incredibly inhumane, but it's also illegal. And then on May 20th, we documented many other violations, including not being within arm's reach of the length of the reins of the horse, which I had discussed earlier. So, we do have a lot of the aldermen in support of this humane measure, and we do go down near the horse carriage stand about once a month and do an educational outreach event. It's very peaceful and educational. Our goal is to talk to the public, explain to them why we want to ban, explain to them the issues that I've talked about here, the dangers, the the fact that, you know, the animal welfare laws are not being, they're not being enforced. And the public is on our side, and we talk to locals, you know, who live in Chicago and who live in the suburbs of Chicago, and then we speak to many tourists because this area is a very tourist area, and we talk to so many people who support our initiative, and I mean tourists from all over the world who tell us they hate seeing it. We have a petition that we ask people to sign that is intended for Mayor Emanuel. We have thousands of signatures on that. We also have an online petition that has thousands. I don't know what the latest number is, but we have, you know, many thousands of signatures on that as well. So we know, I mean, we rarely get anyone in our educational outreach events who tell us that they want to see horse carriages stick around. I mean, almost everybody is in support and stops and signs our petition. We also get testimonials from people on the street who we ask them, you know, who are willing to speak on camera, why would you like to see a horse carriage ban in Chicago? And we've gotten some great videos from people, you know, the last one, a couple girls from Colorado, a couple girls from Florida, a woman from London, who will tell us that, you know, they really don't want to see the horses suffering on the street.
Wow, that's great. So has this resulted in any ridership changes? Is ridership down there?
I can't really speak on that issue because I don't live down where the horse carriage stand is. So I can't determine how their business is going.
There's no media that's covered that and reported about that. Uh-huh. Okay.
Yeah, I'm not really sure, but I will say that they are not working as much, and all three Chicago horse carriage companies are facing trials. One of the companies already settled with the city. The other trial is supposed to take place tomorrow morning. At this point, I don't know if it will be happening or if the city will settle with them, but they are facing, like I said, between the three companies, upwards of $200,000 in fines for breaking the law. So we do know that that has affected the amount of time they work. The law states they cannot work unless their fines are paid, but unfortunately the city has issued the citations but not the fines, so they're allowed to continue to work and likely break the law.
Sounds like a catch 22.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So they're getting away with, you know, after, you know, violating the law, and we, like I said, we just witnessed them breaking the law again on May 20th and on Memorial Day. So despite all these citations and fines, it's not deterring them from breaking the law. It's not deterring them from providing water and working them when it's too hot.
Yeah. Well, what do you suggest for substitutions to tourists? You know, I'm sure mostly it's tourists for these horse-drawn carriages that could provide the kind of city tour that tourists love. You know, for instance, here we have bike tours with bicyclists pulling carts. Is there anything like that in Chicago or anything that you could see in the horizon that could help, you know, take the place of the horse carriages?
Well, yeah, we do have bike tours here as well, mm-hmm. and we have the pedicabs that anyone can jump in a pedicab and go through the city. But, you know, nobody, I truly believe no one comes to Chicago to ride in a horse carriage. They might ride in a horse carriage if they're here, but they're not planning a trip to Chicago to ride in a horse carriage.
Uh-huh.
Chicago offers so many things, you know, between our culture and our lakefront and our sports teams and our music and our festivals, and we have bike tours, we have boat tours, we have, you know, our museums. There's so much to do in Chicago that, you know, especially in the summer, that if you can't find something fun to do, then
yeah, really. In fact, that boat tour is great. I recommend that highly.
Oh yeah, the architectural
tour, one, yeah,
amazing.
Yeah.
So there's plenty to do without exploiting animals in the process. And it's an amazing city, and unfortunately, we don't need a headline of, you know, tourists or prom goers being killed or seriously injured during a horse carriage ride in Chicago. It's just time for this to stop.
Right. It's an anachronism.
Mm-hmm.
So what are the objections the carriage businesses make is there's no place for the horses to go if there is a ban. So if you do succeed in getting one, where do you think the horses would go? What do you suggest?
Well, the horse carriage proponents will always say that if the cities enact bans, then the horses will have no home, or that they will be sold to slaughter and end up as horse meat in, you know, in Canada or Asia. That's a scare tactic that the horse carriage companies and proponents use to not enact a ban. The fact is these horses are worked into the ground, you know, and many of these horses who come into the horse carriage industry are coming from the Amish community or with, you know, or they've already been worked by the time they get to the horse carriage industry.
I see.
So by the time they get, so that by the time they get there, they already have likely injuries and you know, health issues. And so the choice is we can either work them into the ground, and then they likely end up going to slaughter or auction, or we can enact bans and work with the rescues, the hundreds if not thousands of rescues around the world that are willing to take in these horses. And if a horse does go to slaughter, like they try to scare us with, that's up to the owners. Unfortunately, in our world, animals are still considered property.
Right.
So the only way a horse is going to end up, you know, at auction or to slaughter is if that owner takes them there.
Mm.
And you can be sure that if Chicago passes a ban or any city passes a ban, which I'm working with other cities with the partnership to ban horse carriages worldwide, if any city passes a ban, you can be 100% sure that we are going to work our tails off to educate the public about it, raise funds to get these horses, should the horse carriage owners, or I should say the horse owners, should they be willing to get them into a safe forever home.
Great.
But again, that's ultimately up to whoever owns these horses. We cannot take the horses from them. They own them. So again, if they are going to slaughter, that's because the owners of these horse carriage companies took them there.
That's interesting. They're using their own tactics against against a ban.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Oh.
And everybody says, they're like, well, you're giving these horses a death sentence. Mm-hmm. No, we're not. We want to get them off the street so they're not worked into the ground until they have the death sentence, and then try to get them into, rescues, into any of these horse rehabilitation farms. There are rescues all over the world.
Wow,
and we've already spoken with many who say they will take a horse or two if the owner is willing to allow that horse to be retired humanely. But, you know, again, we can't control what happens to these horses. It's ultimately up to the owners. And
as long as animals are considered property. Yeah, I hear you. So you mentioned that on your website there are some cities that have banned horse carriages because they've had accidents. So tell us about some of those cities and what's going on with that.
Yes, most cities who do enact a ban, it's because of a very tragic accident. And of course, we would like to enact a ban before we have one of those headlines. In fact, just within the last 2 months, we know of at least 8 horse carriage accidents where 2 humans have died, 2 horses have died, at least 6 horses have been maimed. And we know in this trade that a maimed or injured horse is likely a dead horse. So,
because they shoot them, huh?
Yeah, Barcelona, Spain's ban just went into effect on June 1st,
Great.
Which is very exciting.
Yeah.
Amsterdam just approved a ban in March. That'll be going into effect in the next year or two. Montreal is very close to a ban. And then some of the cities that have enacted bans, again, because of horses collapsing and dying in the street, in August of 2017, the mayor of Guadalajara, Mexico, stated, we cannot continue to make the mistake, mistake the idea of tradition with animal abuse. That no longer has a place in Guadalajara.
That's great. Put a stop
to it today.
Wow.
So it's very exciting. And San Juan, Puerto Rico signed a ban, the mayor signed a ban in 2015, Salt Lake City in 2014 because of a horse that collapsed on the street and died, yet the horse carriage company lied to the media and told them the horse was fine.
Mm.
So there's a lot of cities progressing and moving toward this toward this trend.
Wow. Well, that's really good news, Jody. We've got 1 minute left, so I want you to wrap it up and tell us what you would like people to know more about the Chicago Alliance for Animals or the other organization you're working for, a worldwide ban. How can people get involved, and what else would you like to say to wrap it up? You have 1 minute.
Okay, great. We do have, just so everyone knows, more than 115 business endorsements for a Chicago ban. If anybody wants to get involved, and we need people making calls to our decision makers from all over the world, whether they live in Chicago or they're a tourist, they can tell our decision makers that they don't like seeing the horses suffering in the street. We are on Facebook, Chicago Alliance for Animals. Look us. We have also a website for the partnership called partnershiptobanhorsecarriages.com.
Okay.
On Twitter, we have...
This is what we're going to do is we're going to put a link to your website on our Facebook page so they can link to all of these. I'm sorry, we have to end now, Jody. So thank you so much, Jody Whitaker, for joining us today on Voices for the Animals. And thanks to all of our listening audience. You can listen to a podcast of this program on KBOO-FM.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jody.
It's time for the news at noon for Monday, June 25th, 2018. Turkish President Recep Erdogan will begin another term as Turkey's highest authority, winning Sunday's election outright, but by a razor-thin margin. This year's elections were seen as the most consequential in decades, as a change in the constitution, which was decided by an equally tight referendum last year, gave extensive new presidential executive powers, while weakening parliament and abolishing the position of prime minister. Some of the new powers instilled on the president in lieu of the constitutional changes are the power to directly appoint top officials, including ministers and vice presidents, new abilities to intervene in the country's legal system, and the power to impose a state of emergency. Erdogan finished the polls with 53% in the most fiercely fought election in years. His challenger, Muharrem Ince, received just 31%, despite a lively campaign attracting huge crowds, and warned of the president's newfound powers, saying, quote, "Turkey is now entering a dangerous period of one-man rule." Erdogan has presided over a strong economy and built up a solid support base.